place where we can go to lay the troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make them whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water, it brings the dead to life.
Before you're seated, can you welcome each other to church this morning? This next song we do quite often. I think we just need to be reminded that, you know, the water, the river, the living water of God is endless. We're going to come back to it lots in our lifetime. Once you've accepted Christ, that living water is available 24/7. Whenever you need it, whenever you need healing, whenever you need peace in the midst of whatever's going on with you, or if you failed, if you sinned, that water is available to bring life, right? Amen? So we can never be reminded of this too much, I don't think. So you guys know this song, it's Come to the Water.
Come, come to the river, brothers and sisters, come and be healed. Come, come to the water, all who are thirsty, come and be filled. Come, come to the river, brothers and sisters.
Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. We believe in the kingdom come. We believe in the risen Son. You bring our hearts alive. Though we come with our hands up high, we believe you'll satisfy. You bring our hearts to life. You bring our hearts to life. We are alive. Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. Let revival come, let the people sing the glory of your name. Let revival come.
I love seeing all your faces every week, but I hope that you're coming here with a purpose. I hope that you're coming here waiting. I hope that you're coming here expecting something to happen in your life. If not, I'm not sure why you're coming. If it's just for the music or just for the, you know, the sermons or whatever, or as Andrew says, because he's good looking, I don't know, but... I hope that's not why you're coming only. Like, it's great to see you guys all, but I hope that you come with a purpose, because God wants us to expect something from him. God wants our hearts to be open for us to change, right? If we're not changing, we're staying the same, right? And as we move forward in our Christian walk, he desires that we have more of him. And we can only do that by choice, right? He's not going to force that on you. So I hope that you've come here expecting something today. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you just need some peace. Maybe you need an answer. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But I hope that you're here waiting for that this morning. Take
This next song is kind of, we did it Tuesday night, and we hadn't done it in a little while on Tuesday, simply because I love when Allison sings it, and I'm not that confident with it, so she was able to come Tuesday night, and we sang it, and I just have been craving the words to this song, so I'm so excited that she chose to do it again today. Let's sing Fade Away.
Jesus, let all else fade away.
I'm very privileged to work with a great staff at Home Hardware. Ron's here this morning. And I have a couple ladies that work with me up front, and there's a lot of actually Christian people that work there. And these two in particular, they also are worship leaders in their own churches, local churches. So sometimes we bounce off songs off each other. Hey, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And so we're often at work listening to music, Christian music, which is great. And we're allowed to do that. You know, Tim's good about that and stuff, as long as we're working. Anyway, so this is one of the songs that one of my coworkers suggested that I try. So I wanted to try it first as a special. Vocally, I'm having a little bit. So if I'm a little squeaky, just ignore the squeaks. Just listen to the words. And I didn't put them up on the screen. I really want you just to focus in. If you need to close your eyes and just capture the words of this song. You know, like I said, this week, it's been just a mentally tiring week for me, just listening to other people's issues and stuff that I'm dealing with. And just one of those weeks. And I'm like, you know what, God? And Anders says this often. He prays a lot for God's return. And that was one of those weeks where, God, I'm good. If you want to come, we're good. I'm good, right? And then I got thinking, you know, this song is really focused on a picture of heaven and what it's going to be like. But also at the end of the chorus, it's like, you know, it's not just about me looking at heaven. And sometimes Anders uses this phrase that I don't want to be so heavenly looking heavenward that I'm no earthly good. That I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing here because I'm focused on, hey, I just want to get to heaven. Just want to get there. Now is the day to praise God, even in the midst of darkness. Now is the day to search his will each day. And you've got stuff to do here before he comes back. It's up to him in his timing. When he comes back, he decides to come back, he's here. We have no say in that, right? But what we do have a say in is how we live each day when we wake up, right? So that's kind of what this song is about. You may have heard this. This is by Phil Wickham, which we do some of his songs here. And if you listen to Christian radio or music, you might know this song. So,
how I long to breathe the air of heaven. Where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. Voice
a thousand generations. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, we'll join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Well, it's good to see everybody. You know what? We've been doing this series called Rediscovering the Wonder of God. And it's been kind of a neat one for me, just from some of the conversations that have been birthed out of that. But we need to remind you, again, we said this last week, that God is big enough for your doubt. And God is big enough for your questions. You know, there's a lot of times in life when we journey where we're going to have those questions and we're going to have those doubts. We'll bring them to the one who is worthy of answering. Bring them to the one who can lead you through. And you know what? Depending upon what you do with your doubts, it'll either make you or break you, right? And bringing our doubts to an almighty God, it has an opportunity to allow depth within us. That God longs to bring us through those questions and bring us even closer to Him. Well, today I want to kind of look at this contrast. It's a contrast that I've seen in the church all of my life. There's a lot of people who seek God, but they don't seek God, right? And I kind of want to bring that out and amplify it in the idea of looking at the Pharisees, the difference between the Pharisees and Jesus. You know, there was a great big difference in the religious leaders of Jesus' day and the teaching that Jesus gave and the life that Jesus lived. And, you know, it's kind of true and still similar today. There's a lot who look upon religion, right? And religion looks really similar to what Jesus taught. There's a lot of people in the world who look towards those institutions, and those institutions look an awful lot like what Jesus taught. It's similar, but similar does not mean the same. You know, the teachers of the law did everything that they could to avoid the mess of life, avoiding sin and making rules for people so that they too could do just that. They wanted to keep everybody as far from sin as they could. Well, Jesus changed the game because he came and he hung out with sinners. You know, and that was the critique, right? How can he eat with these guys? How can he hang out with these guys? How can he touch the untouchable? And you know what? I love the contrast when we start to break it down. Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. He was worried about individuals. He knelt before others and he washed their feet. He did the lowly tasks that those of the religious leaders in his day would have never have thought to have done, right? They would have said, that's beneath us. And what did Jesus do? He served people anyway. Very different ministries. And it's kind of interesting because when we look at this, you know, 2,000 plus years later, you think of the strength of the temple in its day.
And you think of lowly Jesus wandering the countryside with 12 fellers. Who is the one that we're talking about today? Very different ministries. And then, you know, I was thinking this week, you know, what are some of the legacies that I hope to leave behind? You know, and I ain't got much. The kids know that. They're going to fight over things because it's going to be in my will, because I think that's funny. Whoever wins this match gets that. Woo! Fight, right? Now, I won't be here to see it, but maybe I'll try to do that before I die. I don't know. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of things that I plan, but I kind of go, you know what? What is the legacy that I'm going to leave behind? There's a lot of people who are following something similar, but it's not the same as Jesus. And so I want to look at Matthew 23. It's kind of one of those times when Jesus really lays the smack down. It's interesting to me the things that Jesus said. And this particular time, this is fascinating to me. Think about this. The setting of this sermon, so to speak, is in the temple itself. Now, why does that matter? Well, as soon as we read it, you'll understand why it matters. Starting in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12, this is Jesus teaching in the temple. And then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you to do. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi. For you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I was thinking of that whole passage as we were coming into this series, and I was kind of going, first off, Jesus had so much guts. Did he really say those things in the temple? And, you know, it was a packed house. It was one of those things where people came. They came, why? Because Jesus was doing things so differently than the Pharisees, and this was the place of teaching. So they were obligated to go. You want to better believe it that when they heard Jesus was going to teach in the temple, that the temple was full. There had been people who had been skipping temple for years that showed up that day. They wanted to see what was going to happen. Right? And so here's this huge crowd, and Jesus challenges openly the institution of the day. Jesus challenges the Pharisees. Speaking to the audience, he says, you know what? Don't do what these guys do. Everything they do to be seen. The phylacteries, what are those things? Those are the things that they would tie, the little boxes that they would tie on their arms or on their head, and they would put scripture in it. Why? Because there was just way too many rules. You can't possibly remember every rule. So the rule that Kevin may have been struggling with, you know what? Lori would write those down for him. And he would tie them. She would tie them to his head, right? And then all of a sudden, Rob would have boxes all tied to him, right? Phylacteries, because Tracy would be like, you can't go without all of this to remind you what you're doing wrong, right? And so all of those things would be there. And their phylacteries, they were bigger. They were supposed to be little boxes, but they would make theirs a little wider. The tassels on their garments would be a little longer. Why? Because Jesus says, all they want, these fellers who are leading this place, all they want is to be seen. They're craving fame. They demand title. And he goes right into it. You shouldn't be calling them rabbi. Woo! You shouldn't be calling them father. You shouldn't be telling them they're an instructor. And Jesus was basically saying, you know what, these fellas who run this place, where is their humility? Show me their humility. And of course, the crowd knew that there was none. Then you go into this next passage. I would say this, you know, read this one on your own because it's fascinating. But Jesus goes into the seven woes. These are incredible. So think of this, a packed house, the religious leaders with all the power of their day, and Jesus starts the seven woes by calling them hypocrites. He says, you hypocrites, you shut the door of the kingdom in people's faces. You hypocrites, you travel all over trying to get converts for yourself. Last time I checked, we're supposed to be following God, right? He goes, you hypocrites, you tell them to give gifts with their oaths and to be in awe of the gold of the temple. He says, it's not about the gold in the temple. It's about who's supposed to dwell in the temple, you hypocrites. He goes on, like in these seven woes, it's amazing that he wasn't crucified right there. He goes, you hypocrites, you preach about giving tithes when you don't even give love. You hypocrites, right? You're all show. You clean cups for ceremonies, but you have rotten hearts, right? The seven woes, again, I don't know how he made it out of the building alive. He says, you hypocrites, you dress nice and you still stink. You hypocrites, you compare yourself to the prophets. And think of the prophets of old, like Isaiah alone, right? Isaiah was sawn in half at the order of King Manasseh. And these guys, these religious leaders are comparing themselves to Isaiah. He says, you're not worthy. You demand honor. What have you done? Right? And then he goes to call them snakes. He tells them they're in danger of hell. Woo! I just go, that's crazy that this was going on, right? Here he is in Jerusalem, and he's telling those religious leaders in Jerusalem, you know what, I came for you too, and I tried to gather you together, but you guys wouldn't come with me. What an incredible, unthinkable message for the temple. And you know what, you go, okay, was Jesus mad? He didn't pull any punches. You know, did Jesus, all man, all God, did he get mad at times? He had this holy righteousness that sometimes may have come across as anger, but everything that he said, he would have said in love. And in this particular moment, he's speaking a hard, hard truth, a truth that nobody else would dare to speak. So is Jesus a different kind of teacher? You want to better believe it, right? The wonder of God, he's saying the wonder of God, this kingdom that I'm proclaiming, the wonder of God, it was never wrapped in the ceremony of religion. The wonder of God has never been limited to a temple, right? The holiness of God, it's no longer just for the priest, it's for you and I. Like, what an incredible message. What an incredible... So Jesus comes all of a sudden and he changes everything. He changes everything. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God, but he's saying to all of those who will listen to his proclamation, don't settle for less than. Don't settle for religion. Like, in terms that I would understand, Jesus is saying this. Like, this makes it a little simple for me. Jesus is offering the best cake. The best cake the world has ever known. And he's saying, you guys are settling for stupid little icing. Don't settle for the icing when there's beautiful cake that awaits. Right? And the differences are vast. Like, it's amazing to me when we start to look at the institution and we look at what Jesus brought. You know, Jesus was okay with getting messy. The Pharisees weren't. And that's what Jesus was proclaiming that day in the temple. Jesus was okay with rolling up his sleeves and getting his hands dirty and serving others, but the Pharisees didn't. They were dressed to impress. Jesus knelt down to get eye level with people that the Pharisees wouldn't even take a meeting with. Jesus cried with individuals, and the Pharisees criticized the masses. And then we look at the people, like there was revival breaking out, right? People were following Jesus by the thousands. Who did the people come to listen to? Why was the temple full that day? They came to hear Jesus. Which of the two were shining a light into the darkness? Well, you know what? There was thousands of people that came to the mountainside to hear Jesus. Who was the one that was filling the world with wonder? All the common people were bringing their sick to Jesus, bringing their lame to Jesus, bringing their blind to Jesus. They weren't bringing them to the temple. Which of the two is leading to the throne of the Father? Again, the people knew because they saw the difference. It was clear. And so we go, okay, Andrew, we know this. like we understand this today. We're looking at it through 2,000 plus years of hindsight. And we would say, Andrew, is this message really necessary? Yes, it is. Because you and I are sheep. I didn't want to show the video again, although I watched it twice this week. Because it's funny. It's funny and it's true. You and I are sheep. Two chapters after this, it's amazing to me because Jesus openly challenges the institution again. And he gives this warning to the church in Matthew 25. He tells the story of separating the sheep and the goats. And most of you will know this story, right? The sheep and the goats, guess what? They're very close in relation, but they're different. They're very similar in a lot of ways, but they're not the same. They all got four legs. They're all around the same size. They're not that smart. So they're very similar, but they're different. Matthew 25, verse 44 and following, he says, Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and we did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And then they'll go away to their eternal punishment, but the righteous to their eternal life. Like, those words haunt me. Do you want to know why I'm still doing what I'm doing? It's not because what I'm doing is getting me rich or because it's fun. It's rewarding. I know why most of my graduating class is not doing this anymore. But I'm still doing this because one day there's going to be some that are sent away to eternal punishment. And that haunts me in all the right ways. And you know what's amazing to me is we do a lot of hanging out, sheep and goats. A lot of times we graze in the same field, don't they? Because again, they eat the same things. They're very, very similar. They're grazing on the same grass. And that's what those goats were saying that day. Whoa, 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 whoa. As you separate us, wait a minute, we're the same. We ate the same grass. We drank from the same water. We went to the same institutions. What are you saying? We don't know you. We're the same. And God will say, no, you're similar, but you're not the same. Goats, not sheep. Religion, not holiness. You know, sheep, this is for us to hear. There's so many people in the world who focus on the cool and the happening service. Oh, we go to service. Oh, man, you should hear the drummer. Woo! He didn't stay in here, did he? I figured I would get a good, he's not here. His head would grow big. I should have said, woo, did you hear the guitarist? I won't say which of the three, right? I don't know. We come to service that's happening, the service that's hot, the service that is popular. We come to the service. Well, you know what? It's not about the service. It's about the Savior. Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be a goat. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Incredible, church. We need that. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles sheep. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on who? On the shepherd man, on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us purify ourselves. Purify ourselves. In this day and age, to purify ourselves? Don't go for things that are similar. They're not the same. Purify yourself from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness. Why? Because he's worthy of it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things, sheep. Why? Because some of them look similar, but make no mistake, they're not the same. That's why we're told to know his voice. To know his voice. All week, I've been dealing with questions of people that are saying, I don't know what to do. And my answer was essentially the same. Listen to the shepherd. And what were they asking? They were asking, I don't know how to hear him. And I'm going, okay, let's walk through this. You know, let's try some of these things. Don't mistake goats for sheep, guys. Be careful of the herd that surrounds you. Don't make the mistake of reaching for religion when holiness awaits. Don't make the mistake of following excitement when true wonders of heaven are available. You see, we're not to be moved by fear and guilt, but that's an institutional thing, isn't it? We're not to be moved by obligation or title, but that's an institutional thing, isn't it? We're not to be so pretty that getting dirty is unthinkable, right? We're not to be so head full of knowledge that we forget to bring our hearts into it. Because you know what? We're not supposed to be making a name for ourselves. Similar, but not the same. You and I are to be moved by mercy and grace. Close your eyes for a minute. This week, have you been moved by mercy and grace? Have you had mercy for other people? Have you shown grace? You're to be moved by compassion because you serve a living God. You know, you're to get messy. Like, you are called to wash feet. You are called to bandage wounds. You're called to have a heart that overflows with servanthood. Why? Because it lifts high the one who served us unto death. It shouts the name Jesus to the mountaintops. Has that been your week? I'm not saying you haven't been about religious things, but religious things are similar, but they're not the same. You guys can look up. You know, I don't want anybody in here to ever settle for religion, to settle for icing, to settle for the pomp and circumstance. I don't want anybody in here ever following the Wesleyans. It's not about them. I don't want anybody in here following the example of their grandfather or grandmother. It won't last. It's not enough. I don't want anybody in here building a name for self. I want us to really be reminded of what's important. So here's a final warning for us, sheep. I mean, this one's awful too. Matthew 7, starting to read at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away. I never knew you. But God, aren't we similar? We're not the same. You know, even that song that Allison sang, "There Will Come a Day," I believe that day is really close. I guess that's why some of the warnings are just so amplified to me. Bay hits. Oh, that you and I would be children, children of the King, not children of a church, not children of a denomination, not children of a TV evangelist, not children of a Pharisee. Oh, that we would be children of the King. Sheep in all of their messy, silly imperfection, knowing the voice of the shepherd who longs to lead us into holiness we don't deserve and wonders we can't fathom. Oh, that we would know who we are, children of the King. Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for some of the challenges, Lord, even that you've been giving me in my life over the last month. Lord, it's humbling. Like, it's incredible that you are never done with us, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for your patience. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for mercy, Lord. And I pray that we, the church, we wouldn't just look similar, but instead we would look the same. That we would be found in your shadow, that we'd be found covered and dripping with the blood of the Lamb, that we would be found understanding that we're sheep. And the good news is we have a Savior. So let us be found in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.